I got a question for you. Are you in a slump? Before you answer that, let me give you an official definition of the word. How about this? A prolonged period of abnormal, substantial failure or decline. I love that definition so much. It's so depressing and sad. So golf. But wait, there's more. A downturn in performance. I think that's okay, a downturn, but not as good as the abnormal substantial failure. Okay, how about definition of slump being a period of difficulty characterized by a lack of success or productivity? The definition goes even a bit deeper into what being a slump would feel like. How about unmotivated, lost, angry, annoyed, or stuck, which can engender a whole lot of negative emotions. Oh, really? Do tell. A funny story from a book I'm reading. It's told from an author who is a licensed clinical psychologist working with athletes. He had an elite college athlete client that was in the midst of a brutal period of frustration and anger that he felt it could not possibly get any worse. He was in a slump of epic proportions and was so miserable that he worried that he would even never return to an acceptable level of play. Quitting the game was actually a serious option for this athlete. So get this. This player described his state of mind as cluttered, overwhelmed, and lost. So as a clinical psychologist, they're great at asking questions about the situation. So he did. The question he asked him, "Do you think you suck?" The answer, "Suck? Doc, I am the mayor of Suckville." And you know what he did? He did what any clinical psychologist would do when he hears something so epic. He wrote a book and he titled it Break Free from Suckville. And he basically breaks down why it happens and how it gets fixed. So I got a question for you. Do you think you suck? Are you living in Suckville? Or better yet, are you the mayor? And also, are you curious in how you got there? Or are you more curious in how in the heck do I pack my bags and get the hell out of here? Stay tuned. This is Hanji Lee, and you are listening to Better Golf Academy. I'm here to share the best secrets of improving your score without mechanical swing tips. It's all about strategy and your mental game. So are you ready? All right, let's go. Well, hi there, everybody. Welcome to the Better Golf Academy podcast. I am your host, Hanju Lee. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you had a great week. So, two things happened that really got me inspired to talk about being in a slump. First, if you watch Valspar Championship, you saw the funny incident with Adam Hadwin. I'm calling it Adam Hadwin versus the sprinkler, and for the rest of us, is probably one of the most relatable moments in golf this year yet. Basically, he had a complete meltdown on the 10th hole, on the second round of the tournament. This is where the cut is made, right? His approach shot on the par 4 went into the rough, so that's his second shot, and his third shot out of there didn't go so well. It ended up in the bunker, so we've all been there, right? But now, Adam Hadwin, at this point, gets so frustrated that he chooses violence. With this crazy, furious swing, he whacked a sprinkler head and immediately exploded. The just water just gushing out everywhere. It was pretty funny and not so funny at the same time, right? The camera caught it all. And if you haven't seen it or heard about it, you have to go search for it. It's a must watch. And also, Quick plug. If you haven't seen it, why? Are you not following golf news? You don't know what or who to follow. There's so much information out there. I have a solution. Follow my golf better news by subscribing to my Substack. What is a Substack? It's just a free subscription I offer, giving you short, relevant, and entertaining news, gossip happening around the world on the golf tour. Just go to bettergolfacademy.com/news and subscribe, and you'll get the latest news right in your inbox. But the real inspiration that got me wanting to talk about the slump is because of what Victor Hovland did this weekend, winning the Valspar Championship. Just to give you a quick rundown, this tournament victory came after a brutal stretch where he missed three straight cuts. And on Friday of the tournament, we all heard him say, dude, I don't have control over what I'm doing. And he also said this during his interview. Let me play it for you.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, you have an ability that you can almost sometimes take for granted. You just wake up every day and you stand over the ball and you just expect the ball to start in that direction and go that direction and end up somewhere close to the hole. And, you know, then it starts to not do that. It's pretty frustrating. And you start thinking things you've never thought before. And this game becomes infinitely more challenging, and it's already really challenging. So it is really humbling, and, you know, kind of handling those moments. I mean, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned there. And now that hopefully I can regain my ability and get see those shots again, hopefully I can be in a better spot where I can handle that situation better.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Victor. That was Friday, and then this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, he ended up winning, and it was a pretty epic win. If you watch it, he came back and beat Justin Thomas by a stroke. It's pretty fun to watch. So why does it happen to all of us? Why does it happen to the best of us? And I follow this podcast called Golf Never Sleeps, and the host Ryan talks about the person's golf DNA. It makes so much sense to me. So basically, every golfer has an ingrained blueprint, a mix of natural tendencies, subconscious habits, and some emotional reaction that define their game. And let's call that our golf DNA. And some of it, it's good. You know who I'm talking about, right? Those people that just know their game and that have this innate, effortless swing, short game, or putting feel. And then some are bad. You know who you are. Natural slice, where you pull important putts when you're in pressure situations, things like that. No matter how much you improve, your DNA just never really goes away. And it lurks. It waits. And when your focus slips and your practice fades, it just drags you back. He talks about working with elite athletes during summer, which they compete continuously, and since they're playing so much with less practice session, they become somewhat numb to what they're doing. They forget what they were working on and why certain things are working the way they were. And guess what? Eventually, they slowly fall into their old habits and their DNA, and they just can't get out of it. In fact, he says he's always repeating the same solution to the same athletes over and over again because they simply forget. And I can confirm this 100% because I'm in it. You thought this podcast was for you? No, it's for me because I'm kind of in this. Like, last five rounds was just horrible for me. And I figured out my driver about 3 months ago, and I could not make a mistake. No matter what I did, my ball went where I wanted to. In fact, I kept gaining more and more confidence with the driver, and my score kept lowering. It was an amazing aha moment. Everything clicking, all cylinders working together, all greased up. Even during my warm-ups on the range, I was happy with 10 out of 10 shots with my driver. Eventually, I don't remember why I was hitting it so well. I just figured I was just good and I was just going to stay that way. In fact, I just stopped working on my driver and moved on to other things. And one day, one round, everything just went to crap. Driver just failed me. I can't do anything right. I don't even know what I'm doing wrong. Let's bring back that athlete when he went to see the clinical psychologist and what the athlete felt. Doc, my mind feels cluttered, overwhelmed, and I am lost. Okay, that's how I was feeling in the last 5 weeks. Okay, let's stop talking about how we got here and let's start talking about how we get out. Because I've been on the mission to figure this out and I found some great resources and solutions that we can all implement into our lives. Number one is this. When you're in a slump, or when you're not in a slump especially, film your swing. We rarely study what's working. So if you are hitting the ball well, congratulations. But I'm telling you, someday it will all turn on you. That's just nature of golf. So film your swing. Also, if you are all jacked up and you are a technical person that can see flaws in your own swing, self-awareness is critical, but it's also rare, especially in golf. Film your swing. Here's a quick story. Long time ago, my uncle was sitting on the couch during our Thanksgiving gathering, and a picture was taken of him. And he went on about how displeased he was with this photo, and he admitted that he didn't realize how much weight he has gained around his belly area. You know, he immediately lowered his caloric intake, and we got to take another photo the following year, and he looked amazing. So what's the point? A swing after swing after swing, we forget what made our swing what it used to be and realize through the video what bad habits we've developed. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not, but filming and analyzing what works and what doesn't will do wonders for your game. So film your swing and keep a swing diary. Study your success and failures in your swing like a detective. Number two, seek help. Here's the secret. The best players in the world have coaches and instructors. They know even the most self-aware athletes has invisible flaws. In fact, we were never meant to grind it alone. And this idea is sometimes conflicting because it's such an individualized game. And you can make an argument and say, hey, I know my swing best. I need to figure it out on my own. And if I work really, really hard at it, hours and hours on the range on my own, I can get to the elite level that I want to get to. And yes, but sometimes our game is broken. And we are stuck in our own mess because our feedback system is broken or non-existent. No amount of self-analysis can fix everything. Sometimes you just need a pattern interrupt, and nothing does that better than the right coach or the right instructor. This is tricky because finding the right instructor or coach is crucial. A wrong one for you can spiral you even deeper into the slump. And this happened to me a long time ago because my quick fix turned into a, hey, are you sure you know how to play golf the right way? Let me teach you the right way. Let's revamp everything and start from the beginning. And this instruction philosophy was not what I needed. And I want to give you some tips to keep in mind as you're interviewing or finding your future coach instructor. Okay, so listen to these three things. For your instructor, for your coach, look for a translator, not a technician. What that means is the best coaches don't spew biomechanics. They convert feel into results. Don't allow them to get too technical, but more practical. But keep in mind that this is my preferred method. Maybe you receive things differently. But a 2021 study in the Journal of Sports Sciences found golfers who received feel-based causes improved 37% faster than those who's given technical instructions. They said it activates your brain's procedural memory, how you naturally move. Okay, second important thing to look for in your future instructor or coach is to make sure you match their expertise to your DNA. If you're fighting a slice, find someone who works with natural swing path, not total overhauls. Your coach should work with your tendencies, not against them. Okay? And then third thing that's really important is try before you buy. Most coaches offer some type of assessment. send your swing in or meet or chat on the phone or email back and forth. If their feedback makes an immediate sense, that is your person. Number three in how you get out of the slump is this. Dude, take some time off. I thought I would never, ever in my wildest dreams tell someone to take some time off golf. But when you're in a deep slump, your brain is stuck in a loop. It's overanalyzing and constantly firing the same neural pathways tied to frustration and mechanical thoughts. The problem with subconsciousness and the neural pathways is that it only knows what it knows. It doesn't self-correct. It self-reinforces. To escape it, you must consciously overwrite old patterns with new deliberate training, because your brain defaults to what is drilled the most. And what better way to reset than to just take some time off? And taking time off literally weakens those negative connections. It's a process called synaptic pruning. And when you return, your brain rebuilds movement patterns more efficiently, often defaulting to your natural athleticism. And I know you guys experienced this. You just happened to take a couple of weeks off because you were on vacation or something. You come back and you just randomly go out and just play. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm playing better. Even Tiger Woods in 2019 Masters win. Did you know that? That win came after a long period of breaks. During an interview, Tiger said, he says, time away, let me see the game differently. And I stopped worrying about the position and I just played. Also, taking time off restores emotional hunger. A chronic frustration lowers dopamine, the motivation chemical. Stepping away resets your emotional baseline. Like making golf feel like golf again, putting it all back into perspective. Distance from the game provides perspective, and players often realize that their slump wasn't really about their swing, but fatigue, a bad strategy, or just external stress. Did you know that after a brutal stretch, Justin Rose took a month off and he returned and won immediately? And he said this during his interview. Dude, I thought my swing was broken. Turns out I was just tired. My body just needed to recover. See, your DNA, your golf DNA isn't the enemy. Your relationship with it is. Breaks don't erase your tendencies. They let you rediscover the good ones buried under the noise. Slumps, they don't happen to you. They happen for you. Wait, what? All right, I'll repeat it. Slumps don't happen to you, they happen for you. They are your golf DNA way of screaming, yo, you've lost the plot. And here is escape plan, just to review, okay? Number one, see clearly. So you got to film your swing. When you're playing well, film your swing. When you're playing bad, film your swing. Study success like holds a secret of the universe. And with your bad swing, find the flaw. You have to see yourself. Number two, get a translator, meaning find a coach that can provide feedback and someone who can unlock the athlete already inside of you. And number three, walk away to come back stronger. Sometimes the bravest move is putting the clubs away, giving yourself permission to reset and rest. The game will be there when you're ready. Like I said, I thought I would never tell anybody to stop playing golf for a while. But here's the ultimate truth. Your best golf isn't manufactured, it's remembered. Under all those technical band-aids and frustration, your pure swing still lives. And sometimes the fastest way to get back to it is through the side door of rest and renewal. And when you finally return to the course, do this. Just stand on the first tee, take a deep breath of what fresh cut grass smells like and smile. And I don't remember I've ever told you this story before, but when I was playing a lot of junior golf, I woke up early to play the courses up at Lake Tahoe. And when we get to the first tee, while there was still some fresh dew on the grass, and you know, the courses over there, there's a lot of elevated tees with beautiful views. I remember looking down the fairway aligned with these beautiful towering pine trees, and with complete morning silence, you smash your drive down the middle, just hearing the echo of the ball striking the sweet spot. Dude, it doesn't get any better. This is why we play, not for the perfect swing, but for that rush of that pure strike, the laughter with friends as the sun is rising through the pines. Oh my gosh. The moment you stop grinding and start playing again, that's when the magic returns. Okay, now let's go. Let's fall in love with the game all over again. And our comeback starts today. So I'm not just going to leave you here. I got some drills for you again, and I'm calling it the slump escape plan. These are actionable things you can practically do to focus on your three core strategies of getting out of the slump: filming, coaching, and taking a break. To download the drills, go to bettergolfacademy.com/, you guessed it, slump, S-L-U-M-P, and you'll get a link to a free download. Hey, thanks for being here with me. I learned a bunch, and I hope you did too. And if you did and you're like, dude, I know someone that needs to hear this, do me a big favor. Just forward it on to your friend. That's how we can grow. And also leave me a review, and I would love for you to subscribe. And if you want to chat with me directly, go to bettergolfacademy.com/hello and leave me a note. I promise to get back to you. And I was communicating back and forth with some friends this week. So Gary, if you're listening, thanks so much for reaching out, man. But in the meantime, for all of you guys, thank you for listening to Better Golf Academy podcast. I really, really appreciate you guys being here. Be awesome, and bye for now.